Redeeming the time. How many of you have said numerous times, maybe even this morning, it's like there's never enough time to do the things I want to do. And people are working hard, you know, it just seems like there's, and then people retire and there's still never enough time to do the things you want to do. And say, I wish I had more time. Well, you can. You can. We'll get to that in a minute. But I remember, this thought occurs to me, when I was a kid, I was born in 1951. So I don't play guessing games with my age. You know how old I am. And actually, I feel pretty young. But I remember the advertisements on TV, how these new appliances were being made all the time. And here's the jargon they sold you. Just to generate excitement about these dishwashers and washing machines, and is that these are time-saving appliances. You know, and you get the guy with a little bow tie. And you see the wife now, instead of putting all the laundry on the clothesline, she can just throw it in the dryer. And it'll do time-saving stuff so that you'll have all the time you need for your family, for your friends, for the life you want to live. And da-da-da-da, and it goes on and on and on. And it's all this stuff. And, you know, I remember the other day, as I was remembering all of that, a thought came to me. When I was 16, 17, 18 years old, I worked in a factory, actually a couple of factories, to get some money together for my guitars and amplifiers and whatever, because we were the band I was in, we were going on the road. And I needed stuff. And the work you do in a factory, it's rote. It's over and over. You do the same thing all the time. And, you know, when you're doing the same thing over and over, your mind doesn't shut off. It keeps on going. And I remember thinking about things I did or said or heard, a conversation, situation back in kindergarten. Your mind just starts wandering, and you're thinking about the idiotic things you said, the stupid things that you did, or the supposition that you assumed that life was all about and everything. Back when you were very young, just realizing it. Has that ever happened to you? You're doing these things? And then I thought about all these time-saving appliances. This is where I'm going with this, is that you're not doing those same things by rote anymore, the arduous, tedious type of actions. And what happens is, I remember thinking back to those things when I was just realizing things and things that I thought and stupid things that I did and situations I was in that I could have done better during this time when I was working in a factory. And sometimes things wrote, you get a second chance to learn your lessons when you were young that you didn't learn when you were young, when you're doing those things, those arduous things. So those time-saving things really give you more time to think about the exciting, wonderful things of the future. And you really miss out on those lessons that you could have learned, those situations you could have handled better in the past. Sometimes there's just something good about doing the things that you need to do. Yes. Is that, can you relate to that at all, what I'm saying, or do I need to go into detail? I just want to launch the concept out there to you. Because those are the things, see, when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you start thinking about all those old things, somebody said, well, there's no reason to live in the past like that. We're not talking about living in the past. We're talking about opening up your future by learning the lessons that you should have learned. Because when you meditating in the scripture and the Holy Spirit starts to open things up to you and bring to remembrance certain things about your life that are long forgotten, they're still in your memory. And you can learn from your memory. That's why your memory retains all of that. At least, that's the way it worked for me. You may be different. But you get a second chance to do it over Okay, is this working? Okay. But the thing is, you can draw from that with a new perspective, because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God, you're meditating on scriptures, and it's just coming to you in a very new way all of a sudden. And now you can get excited for the future with what you have rather than what the future promises you, because all the glitters is not gold. And when you get excited about doing something in the future, you know, it may not be leading you in a very healthy direction or to a healthy end. Or you get what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Illustration number one, we'll just... Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there. And I want to look at verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he says," God says, "awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time." Why? Because the days are evil. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Redeeming the time. You know, you can interpret that in many ways. I mean, make the most of every opportunity. Be in the moment. Things like that, but there's much more. The Amplified Bible says, we'll start in verse 15, says, "Looking carefully then how you walk, live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity." Boy, I like that. Redeeming the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." Now, back in verse 15, let's go back to the King James. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See, there's wisdom involved in redeeming the time, in using your time wisely, redeeming the time. The word circumspect is an interesting word, and it's a compound of several other words that has several different roots. But circum involves, it's where we get circumference of a circle from. Circumcision. I'm not going to go there. But circumference of a circle is the outer edge of the circle. And the implication of the circum here is that it's a circumference around your life. Walk circumspectly. And then the spectly has to do with what you see. Vision. Purpose. It says in the Amplified, "Walk purposefully." Purposely. And purpose is something of the heart. So circumspectly means you are keeping your eye on the circumference of all the situations that you enter into. The very outer boundaries, that's what circumference is. It's the outward boundaries of whatever, your life in this case. So to walk circumspectly is you have your eye on the horizon and you're aware for possible dangers, threats, adverse outcomes, and you can prepare for it. Amen? Amen? And it saves you a lot of time and trouble if you deal with things up front. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this. It says that a prudent man sees danger and hides himself. He foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple just passed on, and they end up getting punished. Abused by the world, by mistakes that they make and so forth. But a prudent man. Now, prudent is an interesting word too. You know, prudent means, it means to be crafty and subtle. That's what I get from Strong's anyhow. I'm not a Greek guy or a Hebrew guy. But and the best definition I've ever heard of prudent came from the lips of Jesus when he said, "Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." That is the definition of prudence. So keep your eye on that horizon. Keep scanning. What could be the possibility if I enter into this situation, enter this conversation, make this decision, say this the wrong way to somebody? And keep your eye on that while you're keeping your purpose that comes from God, the vision on the inside, specter on the inside, so you stay focused and single-minded. What does a double-minded man get? Well, he gets something, but not from the Lord. Amen. So keep that vision alive. Keep it going. Keep single-minded towards that and understand the dangers or the repercussions that will come. And prepare yourself. Hide yourself from that. Be subtle. Be craftier than the crafty one. Be more subtle than the snake. I love this. Redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunity. Now, when you buy something, what is that? That's a transaction. It's a legal transaction. When you buy something or you're redeeming it, you're buying something. And that is a legal transaction. So if you put money down, you have this, it's yours. One thing that's important, I'll go fast here because we don't have that much time left, but which is a good thing. I mean, probably. That dawned on you, did it? One thing, the first thing we need to understand about time is that time is a created element of creation. Time itself, God created it. When God said, "Light be, light was," when he said that, all of a sudden you had distance, space, dimension in the natural realm here, and in order, and time automatically was created with that, because time is what measures that distance and space. I mean, you got light years, you got all kinds of things that are in time. And the thing is, if you read Psalm 8, verse 6, when man was created, it says, Adam, he gave dominion over all the works of his hand to Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. And who are we joint heirs with? So everything that belongs to Jesus, who has dominion over, when he rose and he conferred that dominion over back on the church, we have dominion over time. It's a created thing, like just like anything else. Time is a created thing. Let that just sink in for a minute. Because if time has been given to us and we have dominion over time, then what the world has taught us in our schedule, in our calendar, and everything has just opens us up to the leading by our circumstances, to be led by need, to be led by anything other than the Word of God. To cast our priorities in line with everything of this world and not according to the Word of God. This is the God of this world who wants you operating this way so that he can continue to control you, continue to deceive you, continue to trick you. You know, when Jesus said there's no truth in him, man, he knew what he was talking about. There is no truth in the devil. And when you get here and start chasing all the glitters and so forth, you're getting out under the area where the God of this world operates, and you are subject to that deception, those lies. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because there is no truth in him. None. None. You know what? Any truth he uses, it's laced with lies and deception. which makes the truth a lie. You still here, guys?
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking, the object of the series is giving and receiving, the law of giving and receiving, which goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, when he said to Noah, after the flood and after Noah was grateful and offered to him every clean beast, or from that, every clean animal, and a burnt offering that rose up to God, and he smelled a sweet savor. Just think about this. Of all the people in the world, he saw that Noah and his grace, he found grace in the sight of the Lord, and he followed what the Lord gave him to do, much like Leah is doing, much like Rick and Katie are doing, and you people in here, and all of these things. He took what God gave him to do. Yes. Took him 100 years to build that ark. But he stuck to it.
Right.
In the face of all the adversity that you could possibly imagine. A preacher of righteousness.
Yes.
And he finished it. And he did it. And God let the judgment fall. And because he had to. And if you haven't read this book yet, Rick Renner's book on fallen angels, giants, monsters, and the world before the flood, it is absolutely eye-opening. And if there's anything I can get out of that right now, is the fact that once sin started in this world, there is no bottom to sin. When you start in that direction, it just descends and descends. It doesn't. And once you get to the bottom of it, it just unloads and gets worse and more worser. There's no bottom to sin. But conversely, there is no top or ceiling to righteousness and what it can produce in your life. And you have dominion over time. You can take, and here's how you do it. The law of seed, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. Seed, time, and harvest is sowing and reaping. It is giving and receiving. It's a law that is fixed. And you can use this. Say, God, I'm having trouble with my schedule. I don't have enough time to do the things I want to do. And God will look at it and he will totally invert it. If you give God the first part of your day in prayer, if you give God the first part of your day in the Word of God, here's the way you do it. Get alone. Put your Bible open. And start praying in tongues.
Amen.
Start praying in the Spirit. That's what praying in the Spirit. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. I believe it's verse 14. When I pray in your spirit needs to communicate with God's spirit. And as that fellowship continues, the Holy Spirit will start taking over, and he will start taking the Spirit. Now you're praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. And it becomes a transforming type of prayer. And as you're looking at the word praying in tongues, what did Jesus say? He that worshipeth me must worship in spirit and in truth, the word. Spirit and word, spirit and word, spirit and word, spirit and word. And what happens is a conception process starts in your spirit, in your very heart, and it starts renewing your mind. It starts to grow and up and become. Boy, I love that song, Tend. I believe, I abide in you, you in me. But growth, he gives. The growth, that's how it happens. It just doesn't fall on you like ripe cherries off the tree, like Brother Hagin used to say. You got to seek in order to find. You got to knock in order for it to be open. You know, if you've got to seek, and when you seek with all your heart, guess what will happen? You'll find it. Oh, are you getting anything out of this? Turn with me to John chapter 1, and we're gonna get right to this. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning happened when God said, light be, light was. That's the Hebrew rendition of that. He didn't say, let there be light. That's King James said that. God said, light be, light was. Everything that word was is everything God is. And that word went forth with his spirit and created everything. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was everything that God is, ever will be. The word is, does God grow old? Does God dissipate his strength with time? Does it get worn out? No. On the sixth day, it says he, on the seventh day, it says he rested. Not because he was tired. It's because he was done. And the word was God. That word, our Bible, that word is God. It's in written form. And it was spoken so to be written, and it was written so it could be spoken again by us. And the Word was God, the same Word of God who is God, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word who is God. And without him, the Word who is was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when we see everything that that word is, and when it gets inside of us, light starts coming. Amen. Dominion starts coming over all created things. Whatever is created by God is set under our feet. Can we go to Psalm 8 again? Psalm 8, verse 6. You made him. This is, he said, what is man that you are mindful? You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put how many? All things under his feet. This will broaden your mind. I mean, we cannot understand eternity in our finite little mind where there is no beginning or no end. You just can't grasp it. But praying in the Spirit, you can get the revelation of it in your heart, so that you can have an understanding of it. But time as we know it does not exist in heaven. Time in heaven is much different than ours. In fact, the Bible says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Here's God's timetable. Maybe I don't have it here. Come on, baby. Anyhow, 1,000 years is a 24-hour period here. I mean, 1,000 years here is 24 hours in heaven. 500 years here is 12 hours in heaven. So you can imagine, you may have lost a loved one 10 years ago, and then let's say you go to be with your spouse in 10 years in heaven. It's only been a few minutes. And they're going to turn around and say, what are you doing here so soon? Yeah, 2 Peter 3:8. That's a quote from Psalm, I believe, 30. But be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. One enjoyable thought that you have from that is, I have been falling into this sin for 40 years, and I have not been able to overcome it, and the guilt and everything. And people start despising themselves when they keep on doing it. And it's like, no, turn around. See, what that is, that's created for in your life, not because of the sin, but because of the after effect and the guilt that you start shoveling on yourself, and it keeps you from seeing yourself as God sees you, as the apple of his eye. He doesn't see you that way, guilty. He sees you through the blood. You got to understand, this is a legal transaction. The devil has no right to put any guilt or any condemnation on you without your permission. And if you want to feel guilty, there are so many denominations of Christianity in this world that focus more on guilt and condemnation than they do on the liberating power of the blood of Jesus. And so the mindset is unable to receive it. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. Because Jesus, everything he did for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. To get you free. But if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you're going to misuse that liberation and it'll turn into condemnation. If you don't use time the way God intended it to, it will rule you rather than you ruling it. It will dominate you rather than you having dominion over time. So what you do is you give God your time. And you will receive a brand new schedule that will not be confining. It'll be liberating. Yeah, you'll still have responsibilities and do it. But you know what? Those responsibilities are going to turn not into chores. They'll turn into opportunities. Buying back every opportunity. Didn't it say that? Redeem the time. Give it to the Lord. Give that time to the Lord first. And tithe your time to the Lord. I don't know what 10% of 24 hours is. What's that? 2.4 hours? Okay, we'll deal with that. Give it to the Lord. Say, well, I'll be late for work. Well, wake up earlier. Or give him, start off with something. I remember when I first came to the Lord, it's like they said, tithe. And I said, oh, it's 10%. I said, oh, how can you do that? Oh. So I started with a little. And you can grow from there. So start with a little. Give them a half hour. Give them 15 minutes. Wake up 15 minutes. Just do it. Just do it. Nancy Reagan. Just do it. Remember that? Oh, just say no. I'm sorry. What's just do? Oh, that's Nike. Whoa, spiritual traffic in here. Oh. Nike, not in knowledgeable estimation or something. Are you enjoying this? Are you having fun? God wants to have fun with his kids, you know that? He just does. But my point is this, is that we are in a much higher position than the world would dictate to you, that religion would dictate you, and denominations would dictate to you, even your own mind would dictate to you, because your mind has been formed by this world system. And it produced this flesh type of thing that deals only with the flesh, and you can't see the reality of the Spirit as long as you're in the flesh. But if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill all of those things of the flesh. And you give God your time. You start off the day in the Word of God. Convert that to prayer. Start praying in your unknown tongue language. Start praying that way. This is scriptural. I mean, this is not whoopee. This is not weird stuff. This is foundational scripture. And Christian walking, living, foundational. And if you are not praying in tongues, I want you to come up here afterwards, and we're going to lay hands on you, and you will receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you will speak in tongues. I remember, man, I went everywhere looking for this thing. And I was waiting for God to just make me speak in tongues. And you know, it's like, no, he doesn't make. He doesn't force. No, you speak in tongues. Just offer him your mouth and let him fill it. And, man, I got the Holy Spirit rubbed down from every church, full gospel businessmen's, all of this. I went everywhere I could looking for this thing. And finally, one night, I was in Pennsylvania. I was still playing in the band. And, but I was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and I fasted for 2.5 days. I was miserable. I wanted, I said, why can't I get, and I said, Lord, I've gotten prayed for everybody I know how. I've done everything I know how to do. I haven't got baptized a second time. You know, and he says, and you said, ask and you shall receive. So I've asked, I've done. So as far as I'm concerned, I've done it. And this peace came over me when I said that. I just said, wow, okay. Well, I went to sleep that night. In the middle of the night, I woke up. And for 3 hours, man, I was on it. And it wasn't Rundai Shantai untie my bow tie. It was coming from places I didn't know I had. Joey, the drummer, he and I roomed together. But he goes, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, but I don't care. But I was getting edified. I could have quoted him and said, wake up, you who sleep, and Christ will give you light. Raise up from the dead. I don't know if Joey ever did get saved, but... I liked him, though. He was a good friend. Joey Lipnicki was his name. Praise God. Good Irish name, huh? Where am I? I don't even know where I am. Don't get tired of doing the same old thing over and over again. It's a time to review, prepare, and plan with the Holy Spirit. Don't look for shortcuts. There are no shortcuts with God. Give the first of everything to God. Your time, especially. If you want to redeem the time, get a partner, and he'll show you how. He will give you wisdom that you never even thought was available. He'll give you understanding and a knowledge of things just revealed to your heart, just in a splash, just like that. And you will be able to walk like you've never walked before. You'll be able to get excited about things that nobody else will understand. I mean, you can be sitting there, Diane can be sitting next to Anita, and Diane says, "Woo, glory, did you see that?" She says, "No, I didn't see a thing." What's that? Because it's yours. God didn't speak it to her, he spoke it to you. So, got to wake up. Get ready, it's coming. Because we're going to be in situations very soon and very shortly where you will need to understand to shut up, wait till he who lives in you gives you something to say, and it will have backing and it will have direction. Yes. Amen. See, if you can, I'm talking about backing and direction. We learned this in physical science when I was in, ninth grade. And physical science class. And Mr. Haynes said this. He says, you know, you can suspend dynamite in a barn and light it off and it'll explode. And it may knock some hay around or something like that. But if you take that dynamite and put it down and nail those floorboards down on top of it, now that dynamite has backing and direction, it'll blow the roof right off and the walls right out. The same amount of dynamite that only moved a few sticks of furniture or whatever, the benches, and will now blow the roof off and totally destroy it because it has backing and direction. That's what tongues gives you. That's what single-mindedness gives you in the Word of God. This is the direction and the power that you have behind you that created the universe. It can create a whole new life and a whole new direction and a whole new authority and to put you in a place of dominion in every single circumstance, and you will be subject to him alone. Yes. Isn't that what Jesus was? Isn't he our example? Yes. Apostle Paul lived the same way. Yes. Peter ended up living the same way as that. And other apostles that were all through the book of Acts that are living now, they say, I don't want anything else. I just want what God has for me. Is that you? Amen. Is that you? Do you want the Holy Spirit today, the baptism in the Holy Spirit? If you're not speaking in tongues, I'm telling you something. You need to get up here because he is ready and waiting to enable you and to equip you like you've never been equipped before. And it's as simple as come and take it. Take that baptism. He is an amazing, wonderful Holy Spirit. He is a wonderful, amazing person. And you need to fellowship with him in spirit and in truth, according to what his word says. Amen. Praise God. Glad you came today. So am I. So is God. Praise God. You know, somebody says, I'll be there in spirit. Have you ever tried to preach to 50 spirits? 100 spirits? Well, I'm glad you came. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you what it opens up to us. We thank you, Father, how to deal with things of the past. And Lord, to have our do-over and to learn those lessons that we didn't learn, that we find grace in your eyes. Lord, not because of us, but because of what Jesus did for us and how he recreated. Lord, we are just amazed at the fact that where we walk, you walk. Because you said you'll live in us and you'll walk in us and you'll have your being in us. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lord, we have a dawning of a new day right in front of us where we will be called on to disciple, to help, to get our, roll up our sleeves and get our elbows into the work of the living God, the good work that you've called us to, where we can affect change and bring change to lives, much like Leah is doing, following your voice, and Katie and Rick have done with moms. And getting all of that done. Don't mess with my kids. Praise God. And all the other things that are involved with the next generation that are coming up. Lord, infuse us with that vision so we can keep that purpose and we can keep on guard around the circumference of our life so we have wisdom going in, wisdom walking out. Let things come, Father, and we will honor you. And you will honor us because you said in your word, he who honors me, I will honor. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.